Welcome, everyone, to the first Thursday of Lent, where we continued reflecting upon St. Alphonsus Liguori's Lenten sermons. Welcome back, Father Cristino. We are going to give our thoughts on penance. Beginners are often very indiscreet in their fasting and other works of penance. The rigors sometimes bring on infirmities, which disqualify them from their religious duties, and sometimes make them give up all exercises of piety. Discretion is necessary in all things. St. Francis de Sales used to say to his religious of the Visitation that continual moderation is better than fits of violent abstinence interspersed with occasional excesses. So, Father Cristino, what are your thoughts on such advice from St. Alphonsus Liguori?
Well, I think he's making a really important insight in our spiritual lives, especially as it relates to the role of penance in our spiritual life, of mortification, or whatever ways that we're trying to grow in self-denial and self-control, that we can begin very enthusiastically, maybe even too enthusiastically. And so as a consequence, maybe we're biting off more than we can chew, or we're undertaking something that's quite unmanageable to remain consistent. And then when we begin to fail, if we can't sustain that level of discipline, we start backsliding. And sometimes you backslide further back than where you started from in the first place. And it becomes discouraging or depressing. And then we give up on the whole thing altogether. And so we're in a worse state afterwards than where we would have been if we exercised, as he calls it, some moderation in our penance, which also requires of us a certain kind of humility. Where we can check our motivations. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I humble enough to do a certain kind of penance that isn't very excessive, but still is demanding? Maybe it's not as much penance as I would like to, but I know that that much penance is born more out of my pride, out of an ego that says, oh, look what I can do, even if it's only just to prove that to ourselves. Or maybe it's because we have mixed motivations about why we're doing what we're doing. I've been saying that I hope to lose some weight during this Lent. But when I undertake some fasts and do my different kinds of penance and self-denial with what I eat, it cannot be motivated by hoping to lose weight. That has to just be a byproduct of undertaking that penance for the sake of gaining self-control, having better discipline, and really trying to order myself more towards love of God. If, as a consequence of that, I lose some weight, fantastic. But that can't be what's motivating me. Otherwise, our pride and the ego is in the way of the penance. And so that's why I think he's suggesting moderation is key.
I think sometimes when we start off the Lent, we have these great lofty goals and we continue, and all of a sudden we find ourselves maybe pushing through, but becoming very miserable.
Right.
And our penance causes us such distress that it causes distress in other people. Perhaps we need to then adjust what we're doing. What do you think?
Well, that reminds me of a funny story from back in the seminary when my now a dear bishop was our seminary rector then, Father Bill McGrattan. And we were sitting at breakfast one day. He was at a table with myself and a couple of other guys. And one of the guys just seemed off. He seemed kind of grumpy or just out of it a little bit. And so the rector made a joke and said to him, hey, I think you need another cup of coffee this morning. And he just sort of grumbled, I gave up coffee for Lent. And Father Bill at the time said, well, your penance isn't supposed to be penance for the rest of us. No, in the moment, he was just teasing him, obviously. But it's a good point. It's to say, well, if penance is supposed to order us more towards the love of God, love of God isn't reached. It's not satisfied if we can't love the people around us. Right? It says in Scripture, how can you say you love the God who you cannot see, but you do not love those around you who you do see? And so if our penance is actually distracting us from the love of others or making us harder to love, then we're missing the point, and it's not going to lead us closer to God. We need to be able to undertake our penance joyfully and willingly, and not just be happy to do whatever the penance is for the sake of being able to say, I did it, right? That's why in this modern phenomenon of Exodus 90, so many young guys I know that do it, and especially if they're married men, they say, talk about this with your wife. Make sure she's okay with what you're going to be undertaking, because your penance can't become her burden or the penance for the whole rest of the family.
A little while ago, I was reading something. I can't remember the source of it, but it we talked about five characteristics of heroic virtue, and one of them was joy. So that's something that I'm keeping my in the back of my mind when I'm going through my penance or my mortifications this Lent. Am I able to maintain the level of joy that it's necessary for me to have as a father and husband? Because I do not want to be the cause of other people's misery. And I heard somebody once say, some people bring joy wherever they go, and some people bring joy whenever they go. I don't want to be that kind of person this Lent. St. Alphonsus brings up later in his writings today this seemingly contradiction of the suffering of Jesus Christ and the joy of the martyrs. He brings up the example of St. Lawrence, who was tortured on a gridiron. So he's being burnt. And he turns to the tyrant who's killing him, saying, "Turn me over, I'm done." So it seems that St. Lawrence is able to maintain this incredible, at least some sort of sense of humor when he's dying. But then you contrast that to the suffering of Jesus Christ. And when in Lent we place our minds and hearts upon the passion of Jesus, Jesus doesn't display that kind of joy that St. Lawrence is. And so here we have the joy of the martyrs, the suffering of Jesus on the cross, where he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" How can we bridge those two contradictions? I'm going to offer St. Alphonsus's thoughts and then get your feedback on it. St. Alphonsus writes, "Ah, I understand it all. It was less the thought of thy suffering in thy bitter passion than of the sins of men that afflicted thee. And amongst these, alas, were my sins, which caused thee this great dread of death." What does this mean, Father?
Well, I think St. Alphonsus is pointing out what, as you point out yourself, sounds somewhat contradictory, that we could have the joy of the martyrs in someone like St. Lawrence, who is obviously in every way inferior to our Lord. And yet in our Lord, we hear about his bitter agony in enduring his passion. So how can that be? How could you have a martyr who's joyful to suffer and die, and our Lord who does not seem joyful to suffer and die? First of all, I think I would say he doesn't seem joyful, but within his will, to know that he was doing the will of the Father would for sure have been a source of joy for him, even if it was not externally manifested. But there's two completely different reactions going on here in what's taking place, even though they both result in someone's death, a man's death. And the principal difference is pain or sin that causes pain, right? The letter to the Hebrews says that our Lord is like us in all things but sin, which always sort of makes me a little interiorly ironic. I laugh to myself thinking, that's a pretty big thing to be different from us then, that he's like us in all things but sin. But the point here is he alone, of course, accepting the fact that our Blessed Mother was given a singular grace to be without sin, he alone was the one who should not have had to suffer and die as a consequence of sin. And yet he was taking upon himself all of the sin of everyone who had ever lived throughout all of time through his passion. And so this is what St. Alphonsus is pointing out. It was the knowledge of my sins that I am going to have committed that were causing you that pain and affliction. Whereas St. Lawrence would have said, I deserve this. I'm a sinner. Not that he necessarily deserved to be barbecued to death because of his sin, but he suffered willingly, knowing that he deserved his sin. He deserved his suffering because of sin. And so we need to have that sense of appreciating the vast difference between what our Lord was enduring in his passion and what any of us will suffer in our life. We suffer because of sin in the world, even if it's not our own personal sin. But it's an invitation for us to embrace the cross with joy, as we were talking about before. And St. Lawrence has offered us a tremendous witness, an example of why that is. Back in the old days, in the earlier celebrations of the liturgical year, it was in fact the case that St. Lawrence had an entire octave after the celebration of his feast day, which was a sign of how great he was. Well, and the greatness, I think, comes exactly from that willingness to suffer because of the knowledge of his sin.
Father Cristino, thank you so much for your thoughts today. Friends, share with us what stood out to you in our comments in the section below. We're going to continue on tomorrow. Janelle will be back with us. Father Cristino, thanks for your comments today.
See you.